Today, we'd like to see the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 20, under the title of Saul, Jesus, and Ananias. To align with multitudes, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What do we learn from the question of why are you persecuting me? Question 2. In verse 5, when he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. What does the phrase of it is hard for you to kick against the goads mean? Last question in verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do we learn from Ananias saying, Brother Saul? First of all, we want to see brief background. Book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Hear him, Stephen, the deacon. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, which means Saul agrees the stoners to kill Stephen the deacon. Book of Acts chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Here, unwittingly, Christian evangelism was spread everywhere. Like today, it was spread in Muslim countries. Last Monday, I met pastors at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. So one pastor told us, recently, Christian evangelism rate is so increased compared to last time, particularly in Muslim countries. That's amazing. Although outside a lot of persecuting occurred, but unwittingly, insidely, evangelism is increasing. Amen. Yeah, that's amazing. Chapter 9, verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threat. Breathing threat meaning threatening with every breath. And murder against the disciples of the Lord. Here, disciple means the follower of Jesus or believers, went to the high priest and asked the letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. So Saul asked the permission of a high priest to persecute the Christians in Damascus. Damascus, 150 miles or 240 kilometers in Syria, northeast bound from Jerusalem, so that if he found any who were of the way, which means any who were of the way of Jesus, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He might bring them in chains to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he, Saul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. So Saul's testimony on his letters spoke about this happening. A light shone around him from heaven. Such as 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So Saul saw Jesus Christ by faith, not vision. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So one requirement to be qualified to be apostle is he must see Jesus Christ. So that's why Jesus, Saul said, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not weak in the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, 2. Then last of all, he or Jesus was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Or Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 also, disciple Paul, that time his name was changed, Paul from Saul. So he also testified he seeing Jesus Christ too. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Preaching for conversion, teaching for following Jesus. So preaching, teaching is different. Preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Then, verse 4, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This word in the Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So therefore, the follower of Saul did not understand this word, because the followers, that time most of them, spoke in the Greek. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Here, what does it mean? Why are you persecuting me? Actually, Saul persecuted Christians in Damascus or everywhere. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 and 45, the God said, if you persecute a Christian, you are persecuting me. Here, the Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 and 45, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. One of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Also 45, then he will answer them, the king will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So if you give some food to one of the least of brothers, actually you did it to the Lord. But if you did not, to one of them, actually you did not to the Lord. Also, Christians, the group of Christians called as church. So at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 said, and he put, Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church. So Jesus is the head of the church, verse 23, which is his body. The church is Jesus' body, which meaning the Christian, the group of Christians, Jesus' body. So if you persecute Christians, actually you are persecuting Jesus, because the Christians as a church is the body of Jesus, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's why Jesus here, why are you so persecuting Jesus, me? And Saul said, verse 5, who are you, Lord? Here, Lord, meaning Jesus is the master. I am follower. Here, Saul was converted from a Judaist to a Christian when he saw the lightning, Jesus Christ. So immediately, who are you, Lord? Lord meaning, so I am slave, I am servant, you are master. So then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So what does it mean, this mean? Goads or pricks mean a sharp pointed stick for driving cattle or sheep. So very sharp pointed stick. So cattle or sheep kick against that stick, the sheep or the cattle would feel so painful because sharp pointed stick. So here the gore is a symbol of Jesus or the symbol of truth. So here indicate the fierce inner battle. Saul's Judaism trying against the truth, Christianity, so Saul's mind would have more trouble. So fierce inner battle, you know, describe it this way, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, Saul, Lord, what do you want me to do? So here, Saul's submissive attitude, not rejecting, refusing attitude. So looks like Saul fully submitted to Jesus here. Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, city meaning city of Damascus, and you will be told what you must do. Then Lord told him one step at a time, not laying out whole plan to Saul. So let's ask, what do you want me to do? The Lord did not give a whole detailed plan. Just you arise and go into the city, just step by step. So usually, the Lord gives us step by step to accomplish his purpose at his time. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless. The man is the companions of Saul, who are understanding in the Greek, who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice like a noise. For the Hebrew word, not understood by them who understood the Greek. So hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9, and he was 3 days with sight and neither eat nor drink. It is like the soul is praying and fasting. First of all, 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank, means fasting and praying. Verse 11, in this context, indicating Saul, he is praying. So that's why verse 9 here, Saul is praying and fasting. So here, probably, Saul was fully converted from Judaist to Christian. Judaist perform the each word in the Old Testament by word. So in order to be righteous, by word. But the Christianity totally different, by faith alone, with the gospel grace, we are saved. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9, the Saul's testimony or Paul's testimony. Although I also might have a confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have a confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, the Judaist, over stock of Israel, Israelites, over the tribe of Benjamin, Benjamin tribe, a Hebrew over the Hebrews, concerning the Lord. So Judaist, you know, concerned the Lord. A Pharisee. Pharisee is very high over Judaism. Concerning Jew, persecuting the church, because they believe in the church as heretics. Concerning the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But, however, what things were gained to me, these I have counted the Lord's for Christ. Those things consider nothing. Yet, however, indeed, I also count all things Lord's for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Here, disciple Paul said, Jesus Christ's knowledge is excellent compared to his all careers developed from Judaism. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish. So he considered all his careers developed from Judaism as rubbish or dung. Because in order to gain, I may gain Christ. So the knowledge of Christ is excellent. He want to be just become Christ, like Christ, and be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So his righteousness, faith in Christ, not from the law, his own righteousness, performing God's word by work, but through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. So here so we see the Paul's testimony in Philippians letter, probably here 3 days fasting and prayer. His Judaism faith was completely converted to Christianity. Verse 10, now there was a certain disciple. Here, certain disciple means just a follower of Jesus Christ, neither apostle, nor a deacon, or a Philip, or a Stephen. A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. So, the Lord gave a vision to Ananias. God uses anybody for his purpose. Therefore, do not try to pattern God or limit God. So recently, God, you know, had a letter coverage of Anaheim Hills. We feel, you know, so weird because we didn't see church history like this happening. So that's why, but here, you know, really encouraging us, you know, God, you know, don't try to pattern God or don't try to limit God. So disciple Paul also, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6 said, diversities of gift and diversities of operation. So God's way, ways are like the sand of the sea. So many ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, now there are diversities of gifts. A lot of gifts is prophecy or healing. Many kinds of gifts, but the same spirit, and there are differences of administrations or differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So many kinds of ministries, homeless ministry, online ministry, many kinds of ministry. There are diversities of operations or diversities of activities, many ways. But it is the same God which works all in all. Then here God used to Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." Here also Ananias in a submissive attitude. "Here I am, Lord." Like Samuel. Samuel last time he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Ananias, arise and go to the street called Straight." Straight in like a main street in Damascus, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, because Saul was born in Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Saul is praying there. So, and in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias. So Saul, Ananias, through vision, coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Here, Saul is the worst persecutor in his knowledge. So he is likely afraid of his death." So, but here also Ananias says, "Saints, your saints, Christians deemed righteous upon each own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament." New Testament, the first words, saints, called Christians, all born-again Christians called as saints. So also, in Old Testament believer called as a saint, we can find in the Bible, Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints," this is the believer in the Old Testament, "who had fallen asleep, were raised when Jesus Christ rose again." So the believers in the Old Testament also rise again, so with the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. So that's indicated Matthew chapter 25, verse 52. So this one is so amazing, saints. Saints Christian, Saints Annie, Saints Wayne, Saints Viola, very good, so really based upon faith. So our righteousness is from God by faith in Christ, not from my own righteousness by work. That's why we can be called saints in the New Testament. And here he has authority from the chief priest. So Saul has authority, like a power of attorney from chief priest, to bind all who call on your name, bind all Christians. So very hostile witness or a hostile person. So Ananias disclosed his understanding of Saul, who was severe persecuted. He, Ananias, sort of afraid of him. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles," number one, number two, "kings, and the children of Israel." Here, Gentiles is non-Jews, kings. So in the book of Acts, we see Agrippa, the king. Agrippa, the Jewish king. So the Paul testified that the Lord Jesus Christ before Agrippa, the Jewish king. Also Nero Caesar too. So the children of Israel, just like Paul preached and taught before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So disciple Paul, actually, he was the bridge roller over cross-cultural groups between the Hebrew and the Greek. So he was born in Tarsus. He grew up with the Greek culture under the Roman Empire, but he also, like a teenager, he was trained in Hebrew college, is Gamaliel, the professor of law. The Bible said the doctor of law. He was trained by Gamaliel. So therefore, he was familiar with the Old Testament well. So he is qualified to bridge witness of the Lord Jesus Christ between the Hebrew culture and the Greek culture. Verse 16, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Here is interesting. Jesus said how many things he must suffer rather than how many things he must be blessed or must comfort, but he must suffer for my name's sake. Calling itself is a blessing. Also, it is to commit us to Jesus, not just to comfort us from him. So this is a calling, is a blessing. Calling is require commission, commit to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16 to 28, the soul listed his suffering. "I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little." So here, you know, basically, disciple Paul, you know, abstain his the suffering, you know, for Christ, but he wanted to disclose the suffering, you know, to Corinthians Christians to avoid misunderstand in his situation. So that's why he said, "Is at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little." So I disclose the thing. "What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I." Which meaning, the Corinthians, some Christians is fallen into other, you know, false teachers. So in light of, you know, fleshly, the boasting, pride area, but to avoid misunderstanding, so disciple Paul also disclosed his fleshly, the boasting point here. So like, are they Hebrews? So I am. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now here, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures. Here, you know, list the suffering. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received the 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of warriors, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, meaning my own, you know, Jews, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other thing, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So here in the disciple Paul lists his suffering. He abstained his sufferings. Why? Because he wanted to glorify Jesus Christ. But here he disclosed his suffering to avoid a misunderstanding, because some Corinthian Christians are following false teachers. That's why he disclosed his suffering for Jesus. Then, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, which meaning laying his hands on him is praying. Laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, Brother Saul, Ananias called Brother Saul, although he understood the Saul was the worst persecutor to Christians. Here we see full obedience to the Holy Spirit, full obedience to the Lord, full submission to the Lord, despite a hostile persecutor in his past knowledge. So laying his hands on Saul, prayed for him to receive a sight, receive the Holy Spirit. Then verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like a scales. Scales is a fish scales that is gone. And he received his sight. Saul received his sight at once, immediately. And he rose and was baptized. Here baptized is water baptism. So because Jesus, the ceremonial baptism also required like a testimonial before Christians. Verse 19, so when he had received the food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with disciples at Damascus. Verse 20, interesting verse. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So here, delivering gospel. Gospel is a salvation gospel. Delivering gospel anytime, anywhere. Not teaching, requiring education. Teaching requiring education, but the preaching, so, you know, anytime. The 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. In season meaning sometimes you think in timely, or out of season, even non-time. So you can testify, you know, Christ everywhere, anytime. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Then is the other one, teaching. But the disciple Paul, here, Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those, disciple said, to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia desert, and returned again to Damascus. So, disciple Paul, when met the Lord, the risen Jesus Christ on the way of Damascus, he didn't go to the apostle in Jerusalem, but he went to Arabia desert. There, the Jesus revealed the disciple the gospel of grace. So he stayed there for 3 years. So then 10 years of preparation for his teaching ministry. So book of Acts chapter 11 verse 25 said, Barnabas to Tarsus, to seek Saul. So there, Barnabas brought to Saul into Corinthian churches. So there, so he can just start, you know, his teaching ministry. So preaching for conversion, teaching for following. So preaching is anytime you can testify to Christ. We believe in Christ, Jesus as the Lord and Savior shall be saved. So born again Christian require, so Jesus said, the born again with water and the spirit. Water indicates that the gospel cleansing your sin. Then the Holy Spirit, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So let's see, you know, each question. Question one in verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What do we learn from Jesus' question of why are you persecuting me? Here, 2 points. Number one, you are persecuting a Christian, which meaning you are persecuting Jesus. Number two, you are persecuting the church. Also, you are persecuting Jesus because the church is Jesus' body. So, a Christian is the king. The Lord said, if you give one food to one of the least of brethren, so you did it to me. So, according to that word. So question two, in verse 5, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. What does the phrase of it is hard for you to kick against the goats mean? That is indicates Saul inner, this is verse 5 right here. That indicates Saul's inner fierce inner battle, fierce inner battle of a soul's mind between Judaism and Christianity. Question 3, in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do we learn from Ananias saying, Brother Saul? Here, Ananias, the full submission to the Lord or to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together with the Lord's Prayer. Then we conclude today's Bible study.